T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Brian Baldinger, nice enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. He's also calling the Chiefs-Chargers game this coming up Sunday on the radio. We're going to be carrying it here on 95.7 The Game starting at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, right after our man Lucas helps co-host the Waiver Wire Boys live.
Yeah.
So get your fantasy lineup set and then enjoy Brian Baldinger calling the game. But you can enjoy Brian Baldinger calling in us right here and now on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Baldy?
Damon, what's happening, man? How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Thanks so much. It is always good to hear you. And we were just talking about how you go about covering Davante Adams. And, you know, D'Amador Lenore is two games into his career and has hardly established himself as a Pro Bowl caliber shutdown corner. But I think he might be the Niners' best corner. And when it comes to covering Davante Adams, one of the questions I just threw out was, would you ask someone that young to just shadow him wherever he goes? Or are you taking a guy like Lenore and saying, you're our right corner, and that's all you are right now?
I think that'd be a tall order for any young corner. First of all, they move Davante all over the place.
Right.
He'll be in the slot. He's in motion. He's outside. You know, I mean, they just put him in so many different spots. I remember I was up at a Jets-Packers scrimmage this summer. And I'd done a film session with Davante and gotten to know him over the years. And practice was over, and there was a bunch of young receivers from the Jets all kind of like waiting in line to pick Devontae's brain about, you know. And he was just talking about just releases off the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, within 15, 20 minutes, I'm just sitting there being a bystander listening. I mean, he showed these young kids five different releases, depending on what he was trying to do. And so it's just, I mean, he's just a pro. He came out of the 2014 draft. He was a ninth receiver taken that year. So everybody said he was too slow coming out of Fresno State. I mean, he's probably the best receiver. Mike Evans is in that class. I mean, there's a lot of guys in that class. But, I mean, he's as good as anybody in that class right now. And he waited his turn. He developed. And now he has an uncanny rapport with the quarterback.
Okay, let's turn this the other way around then. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur will want to try to put Adams against Lenore as often as possible because he's the rookie with two games experience?
Well, I think that would be one thing to do. But, I mean, if you go back and watch, you know, Green Bay's first game against the New Orleans Saints, you know, they doubled Davante everywhere he went. And most of it was with Marshawn Lattimore underneath and a safety over the top. And, you know, there's not many that can shadow better than Marshawn Lattimore. And, you know, really, they took him out of the game. And when Aaron went other places with the ball, they just didn't have much success. Now, they couldn't convert a third down all day. I mean, there's all kinds of other things that happened. But, you know, you've got to have a plan for him every play because, well, whether it's third down, red zone, they need a play. Fourth down, they're going to Davante. It doesn't matter who you have in front of them. So, I mean, they just have that kind of confidence and belief in his ability to get open.
Looking at Aaron Rodgers, obviously two very different performances in the two games so far. Was what he did against Detroit enough to convince you, okay, this is the same Aaron Rodgers who's been dominant for, you know, a decade or whatever it is? Or do you feel like he still has more to prove with this offense?
No, I think what you saw in Detroit last week is who Aaron Rodgers is. I think he loves the offense. You know, he's got the interior three of this offense last week, John Runyon, Josh Myers, Royce Newman, they've started a combined five games in their life. John Runyon started his first game ever last week. I mean, they're really young in the middle. And they played pretty good against Detroit. But, you know, when they played New Orleans, I mean, New Orleans had an 11-minute drive in the second quarter. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was sitting out there just sweating in Jacksonville. I mean, he couldn't get on the field. And so they just never got into a rhythm the whole day. And he was frustrated, and he sounded frustrated afterwards and all that. But he looked a lot better in Detroit last week.
Jaquez Patrick was picked up off the Bengals practice squad, and on that alone, it means he's got to dress, and given the other injuries and Elijah Mitchell being doubtful, looks like Trey Sermon is out of concussion protocol, but again, he's got one carry in his entire career. So what do you know about him other than this is one of the biggest backs that Kyle Shanahan's ever had carry a ball for him when he does carry a ball for him? He's a big kid out of Florida State. It also seems like Kyle Shanahan has a system that takes guys off the street and has success with them. So what, if anything, do you know about him and the fit he will be in the Shanahan offense?
Damon, it's my job to know about these guys. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know it is.
I did this. So he came from Cincinnati, and I did the Cincinnati-Washington preseason game this year. And, you know, they really didn't play Joe Mixon. You know, so this kid, Patrick, played a lot. Against Washington, and you're right. I mean, the first thing you see is his size. I was actually surprised. They've got two big backs, you know, in Cincinnati, so I guess carrying a third doesn't make a lot of sense. But he's a legitimate back, and I remember talking to Zach Taylor about him. I had a conference call with Zach before the game, and he was really good, and he really liked. He said flat out that Patrick can play in the NFL. Now, he wasn't those weren't just, you know, words, you know, whipping in the wind. I mean, I think he really believed that this kid could play. And he was good. Like, he was breaking tackles, and he had some elusiveness to him. But, you know, I'd love to see this kid get a chance. You just, because some of these guys, you just never know until you put the ball in their hands when it's for real. And we'll see what it's like when the light goes on. But just from the preseason game where I saw him live, the size is real. And his ability to, you know, contact battles and breaking tackles, that was pretty evident as well.
Is he a classic Kyle Shanahan kind of running back, or is this kind of a little indication that Shanahan would like a little more sort of, for lack of a better term, variety in the kinds of running backs he has?
Well, he's had Alfred Morris. He's had him in Washington. He had him in I think I'm right with that. He had him out there in San Francisco for a little bit. I mean, Alfred Morris is a big back. He was a little shiftier than Patrick. I think Patrick is bigger than Alfred Morris, like just built stronger. Ultimately, it's really about production. I mean, you can put these guys in all kinds of categories, and maybe if you put enough of them out there over the years, like just say over the last 10 years, Cleveland, Atlanta, Washington, whatever, you could probably find a more typical prototype. But ultimately, he wants guys that can hit the hole and, you know, and break tackles and get you positive gains. And when you got to protect, you know, can you protect a quarterback? So, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, if you're 240 pounds or if you're 185 pounds, I don't really think it makes that big of a difference.
Looking at the defense of the Packers, so far, Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown it downfield less than anybody in the NFL, basically. Is this the week, based on some of the weaknesses of that defense, that you think Kyle lets him let it loose a little bit?
Well, I mean, you can't help but look at the right cornerback and say, you know, this guy needs to be tested. You can't help but no right now. I mean, I don't know if Zadarius, and I think Zadarius Smith has played, but he's not healthy. I mean, he's their best defensive player, and he doesn't look like he's healthy when he has played. You know, I don't know how much he's going to be out there and what kind of impact he's going to have. You're going to see a lot of Rashawn Gary. But, I mean, I'd take my shots at that right corner right now. I mean, it sure looked like Detroit had success last week against him. And so, and it sure looked like New Orleans didn't really do much out there that day, but, you know, I would go test him, you know, and just see if he could play the ball in the air.
Our friend Brian Baldinger with us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Do you think we go back to the Trey Lance wrinkle this week, or does Kyle shelve him again?
I'd be surprised if you don't see Trey. You know, first of all, we got to see what, you know, who's actually going to dress at the running back situation, but I could see a situation, since all these guys have, you know, gotten hurt or banged up or whatever, you know, I could see a wildcat situation with Trey, you know, to get yourself, whether it's short yardage, whether it's a changeup. I mean, I kind of expect – I expected to see him last week. I was a little surprised. I think he let Jimmy kind of play through some struggles early in the game because the defense was playing so well. The goal line stand, all that, you know, 3-0 game, let him play through it. But I expect to see Trey this week. You know, and I'm not sure exactly what the capacity is, but I think he's going to get out there on the field.
Is week three the first week – in your mind, that you can say these are meaningful games that will tell you things about teams that you can still sort of rely upon 7 or 8 weeks from now?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think we're almost out of September here. There's not much of a preseason, whatever you want to call those games to be. You've played 2 games now. You've played a lot of snaps. You've kind of, you know, you've gotten through some injuries. You're hitting your depth right now. You got to, you know, by now you got to know what you're good at, what you can count on as a coach and as a staff and as a team, and, you know, what you've kind of got to stay away from. Everybody has these pie-in-the-sky ideas, you know, in the offseason, the rookie class, the free agency, all that stuff. And then, you know, you have injuries. You know, I don't know what to think of Brandon Ayuk at this point. But you got to believe that he's going to get involved in this offense eventually. You know, they need him to be involved. They need him to be good. They drafted him to be that guy. So I would think that now is the time we're going to start to see real defined personalities of what teams are come out. I mean, I just remember listening to Mike Vrabel after the Tennessee win in Seattle last week. And, you know, they never went away from Derrick Henry. He had 35 yards rushing at the half. He had 182 rushing at the end of the game. They didn't go away from him. He was the difference maker. Like, they got back to what their identity is. And so, to me, Kyle Shanahan, his identity has always been tremendous play-action passes. We haven't seen a lot of it, you know, that has really, you know, gotten the ball down the field. I expect to see that against Green Bay.
So in addition to this game, there is another huge NFC matchup on Sunday as the Buccaneers are visiting the Rams. What is the thing you are most interested to see in that game?
Well, there's a couple things. One, I want to see Jalen Ramsey has been played everywhere so far this year. I mean, he's played inside. He's played a dime linebacker. He's played corner. And he's been unbelievable. You know, he finished the game out against Indianapolis last week. I'm curious to see if they're willing to just put him on Mike Evans and say, can you neutralize Mike Evans? Now, there's still Gronk and there's Godwin and there's all these other targets. I'm interested to see, that's number one. Number two, I want to see if Aaron Donald and what they do defensively could put pressure on Tom Brady and force him into mistakes. Dallas did, and they forced him into, you know, 2 errant throws, and it was almost a difference in the game. So I want to see if the Rams defense can do that to Tom Brady.
Baldy, situations dictate careers probably even more than individual talent does. And that was on full display as we watched Sam Darnold become the quarterback people, you know, who were fans of him suggested he could be. Removing him from the Jets funk has changed him. Putting him in a competent Carolina situation has changed him.
Yes. But it's Matt Rhule. It's just Matt. I mean, and how he coaches and how he builds. And it's not all about Matt Rhule, you know, Sam Darnold and statistics and all that. You know, Joe Brady is there. Like, they're going to protect him. They've got 3 tight ends that all play. They've got a fullback. They're a 2-back system. They just do so many different things. Now, Sam still got hit last night. You know, quarterbacks are going to get hit in this league. But, you know, he's elusive enough. He doesn't have to be, you know, some of these other guys that can really run around. But he's elusive enough. He throws the ball on the run. Troy pointed it out last night. It's not a great offensive line, but it's pretty good. And when McCaffrey comes back, they're really a dynamic offense. They didn't show a lot of it last night like they had the first 2 weeks. But this is a good place for Sam Darnold. It's a good organization. It's a great coaching staff. And they will play to Sam Darnold's strengths in this offense.
Will the Bears be able to play enough to Justin Fields' strengths for him to have success?
Man, I thought Justin played awesome last week. Like, when that kid misses, it's like by inches. Like, he threw a pass to Allen Robinson in the end zone.
Should have
been caught.
Cheeto
Woodsia was covering him. I mean, it went right through his breadbasket. Yeah. Like, Cheeto was right there, but the pass was perfect. I can't understand, nothing against Andy Dalton. He's been in the league 11 years, been a good player. I never understood any reason why Justin Fields wasn't starting day one. Like, build the offense around the kid. Like, get him comfortable with things that he knows and things that he can learn and just build. But this kid is a phenomenal talent. Phenomenal talent. There were days when I thought he was better than Trevor Lawrence, you know, and breaking him down and getting ready for the draft and all this kind of stuff. Like, this guy is smooth. He's poised. He's got a great arm and touch. I can't find a weakness in Justin Fields. I expect him to be, you know, for Chicago to say thank you. Thank you, everybody, for passing on him. And thank the Lord that we have him.
I think I found his weakness. It's his head coach. Anyway, Brian, let's wrap up with the game that you're actually doing and kind of an abstract question, but I think it's maybe the fairest way to compare the two quarterbacks that you're going to be looking at and, you know, the preemptive heir apparent to greatness that is Patrick Mahomes and, of course, Justin Herbert, who had as good a rookie year as anyone. Who would you rather have to start a franchise with? Patrick Mahomes and very little cap space to spread around, or Justin Herbert and a whole bunch of cap space to spread around? What would be the better way to start a franchise?
Jamie, if you factor in the cap space, you have a better chance of building a Super Bowl team with Justin Herbert right now than you do Patrick Mahomes. However, Patrick Mahomes just threw his first interception in the month of September in 5 years, or in 4 years, last week. He lost his first game ever in September.
Is that good? That's good. 4 years in your career. That's
pretty good. Like, I mean, cap space. Like, I don't know. Me, you, Damon. Like, we and Patrick Mahomes. We could probably make it to the playoffs. Like, that guy just makes everybody better. He's my favorite player to watch in the league. Although the right guard for them right now is my second favorite player to watch in the league, and Trey Smith. I haven't seen a right guard come into this league since, you know, Quentin Nelson came into the league. But as good as Justin Herbert is, and I love everything about him, I take Patrick Mahomes and pay him $50, $60, $100 million a year. I don't care. Just take him.
By the way, if it were Patrick Mahomes and you, me, Kolsky, and Ray, it'd probably be a little bit more of you and Patrick than the rest of us getting to the playoffs. But thank you very much, Brian. It's great to talk to you. Break a leg this weekend on the radio, and we look forward to hearing you right here on 95.7 The Game. We're taking that game, baby, on Sunday afternoon. Baldy, who's your play-by-play guy? Who are you doing it with?
Chris Carino. Chris Carino will be with me in the booth in Kansas City. He's the voice of the New York Nets, but he's awesome, man. He's really good. His pipes, like, come through that, you know, that crowd in Kansas City pretty well.
He's very good. Enjoy the barbecue, man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Damon. Take care, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.